Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks, and we have a great show with a wonderful guest who is extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today, we are discussing the topic of COVID-19, the good, bad, and ugly from the front lines. And my guest today is a longtime multifamily industry attorney, Brian Serwin, principal with the Serwin Law Firm. Brian, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Paul, for having me. I enjoyed talking about my favorite topic, which is landlord-tenant law.
Okay, great. And just to kind of give a brief overview, and we're going to cover this more in the final segment, but let's tell the listeners a little bit about your practice and how you have a big emphasis in landlord and tenant law and multifamily especially.
Absolutely. So I have a practice with a number of attorneys and support staff. I think we're close to an army of about 12 individuals who are dedicated to serving landlords in the multifamily world. We're based here in Texas in Houston. And I've had the fortune of been doing this now for 20 years. As a kid, I was raised around the family has been involved in residential and commercial real estate, and I've kind of got my background there, but have been doing this landlord-tenant law for over 20 years and have been fortunate enough to serve on the board of the Texas Apartment Association and been a chapter president and various officers in different capacities. But our focus at our law firm is representing landlords in handling evictions to HUD complaints to a number of different issues. And it certainly keeps us busy, and there has been a steady uptick pretty much every year I've been in business. For the needs, legal needs, unfortunately, continue to be there for the apartment industry.
Yeah, and you know, today we're talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly of COVID-19 on the front lines, and of course we're going to be discussing that from a legal perspective. And you know, one of the things that I know has been a topic of past conversations and current conversations, for that matter, is evictions. What, if anything, has changed with the eviction law and how evictions are supposed to be done under the COVID-19?
Absolutely. Paul, I think you hit the nail on the head that we kind of have to take a brief look at the world of evictions before COVID-19 hit our industry as it did to other industries. Before COVID-19, it has been increasingly more challenging for the multifamily industry. Gone are the days where you would show up in court and within a few minutes would be out with your eviction. It has steadily become more of a challenge. I know that there were days I could handle 9 evictions in just a couple of hours down at the courthouse. Today, I have to pretty much assign 1 attorney per file. And that's just politics and the lay of the land and who the judges are in a different take on eviction. So we kind of have to start there. And it gives us some background to how we got into the situation, which we'll talk about the CARES Act, which is quite frankly, can be difficult for the apartment industry. And if we step back and look at evictions, many of us now face judges who want to have a very detailed trial on a non-payment of rent eviction. And that's been what we've seen now more and more. They want people to go in the hallway and discuss non-payment of rent for several months and try to work it out. There are some judges who simply want the landlord to just forego the rent. There are some judges who want the landlord to both forego part of the rent, forego any fees, and to let the residents stay there. So that's been the more challenging part of what we do in representing landlords. And, of course, litigation and small claims are up. But as we move into this COVID situation, the feeling in the lay of the land has for a while now, unfortunately, been to at the expense of the apartment industry with waiving rent and even judges who flat out just rule for the tenant. It hasn't happened to our firm, but that I can recall, but other people who aren't familiar with the process, if they refuse to work with the tenant, the judge will just flat out rule against the landlord, even though the rent was not paid. So as COVID-19 came on our radar, and I saw it coming a ways away, and I began to ask judges, hey, this is before the CARES Act. I said, what are we going to do to keep the process going if we can't physically come to court? And I had some judges saying, I don't see that happening. I don't see that happening. And I said, well, you know, we've got lots of eviction trials taking place every week, and we need to figure out a way that those can keep going, because it's going to be a major problem if we can't have those cases going. Now, I wasn't saying that to be unsympathetic to what, and I didn't foresee it being as bad as it is, but I did foresee a challenge of not being able to go to the courthouse, and I wasn't trying to be unsympathetic, but I also know that the clients are operating a business and the cash flow has to be there. And I've been in this business long enough to know that if the community word gets out that people are not paying rent or they're being difficult and they're not being evicted, it changes the culture in the apartment community. And next thing you know, that will spread like wildfire, and it gets away from people. So, And it makes it challenging where a landlord who's trying to cover their operating, their debt, their overhead, payroll, insurance, all those complications to where you begin to question, can they make it in this environment? So I wasn't trying to say, let's continue to throw people on the street, even if there's a disease out there, but I just knew that it was going to be some type of problem. So when you package that all together, with judges who weren't real receptive early on to trying to think of a mechanism to keep the system going, you already had an environment of trying to help the tenant. And we are operating in a more pro-tenant environment. And I don't know if we'll ever see the days again where the law will be strictly enforced and we'll be back to a level playing field. But we, before the CARES Act, before COVID, we were operating in a very or somewhat of a pro-tenant environment. So as the CARES Act came along and there was this drive to find a mechanism to help people, this act got passed, and we're going to be talking about two particular sections of the CARE Act that affect us, 4023 and 4024. And any of you that have the internet can easily find the official sites for the CARES Act section 4023 and section 4024 that we'll be talking about here today to read for yourselves. And when we got this act, it was very challenging and difficult for the landlord. And I do not think the National Apartment Association saw it coming. To my knowledge, I don't think they realized that there have been some rumors that when the bill was initially drafted, that this was to pertain only to government housing. And it was supposed to be much more limited. But when the final draft came through, that is when we all began to see the damage is done. So in our world of COVID, we have to deal with this CARES Act that is challenging for us. Then you have your court system who also, they've layered in difficulties for landlords to to go through the eviction process. As everybody knows, we pretty much have a freeze on evictions, and we've had that freeze, which has been brought to us by the CARES Act, and we also have to look at the courts, like the Texas Supreme Court that issued an order freezing and halting evictions. You have the county court who also did its freeze on evictions at some point. Then you had justices of the peace that also refused to start taking evictions or having, not taking them, but having the trials. And then you got your local cities that have begun to pass ordinances. So it kind of was, the fuel was already there, the vapors were already there to help the tenants out, and it became a very helpful situation for the tenants. So we go through them, and we'll discuss them more in detail during this show. The CARES Act was passed. We'll talk about those sections. The Texas Supreme Court quickly acted to shut down evictions in Texas. And I spoke out and lobbied as well. I don't know if the word lobby is correct, but I pointed out, I said, if we have this situation where we shut down all evictions, it's going to go far beyond people not paying rent, but we could also have situations where some of the properties that are in difficult and distressed areas. I know in doing this business for 20 years that I've had managers who, but for the fact that the leaseholder could be evicted, it could be a grandmother, it could be a relative, that visitors to the property have absolutely no respect for some of the site staff, and all they have are evictions. And so I encourage the court to not stop all evictions, because we certainly need to, we need to give managers some power to do, to continue with some evictions. And thankfully, that's what they did do. Unfortunately, they stopped all evictions for non-payment, but when it comes to conduct, at least in Texas, they have ordered the courts to continue those if it's an imminent threat.
All right, Brian, we've got to take a quick break. Hear the music playing in the background. We're going to pick this conversation back up right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of COVID-19, the good, the bad, and the ugly from the front lines. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me today is longtime multifamily industry attorney Brian Serwin, principal with the Serwin Law Firm. Before we jump back into the conversation, I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Brian, before we took the break, you were eloquently explaining everything that's happened and is happening with evictions and the issues and the delays and so forth, in kind of an overview. And I know we want to get into some more of the technical things, but I want you to continue and you know, kind of put a bow on the overview for us.
Absolutely, Paul. So, unfortunately, politicians being politicians, then we began to see local judges post on Facebook that I've stopped taking evictions, I've stopped taking filings. And this is before the CARES Act. And I reached out to one of the judges in particular and said, you know, I wish you wouldn't do this. You're going to create, you know, serious financial hardship for landlords if words gets out. Just, you know, if that's what you're going to do, just don't publicize it. But if you're an elected official, you want to publicize those things. So that's the lay of the land in talking our last segment about elected officials and the judges stopping it. Then we get the CARES Act, which certainly was not helpful except for the forbearance that we'll talk about to the apartment industry. Two particular and the CARES Act, as people may know, was the big stimulus package. It was signed into law on March the 27th of this year, and of course gives us the famous PPP loans. In our industry, there's two sections we want to look at. Section 4023 that deals with loan forbearance and Section 4024. Before we dive too far into it, you know, I've got to tell you, I've participated on attorney conference calls of other specialists like myself in the multifamily industry, and it certainly does leave us scratching our head when you read these sections, because there are definitely areas that are gray or flat out confusing or flat out pro tenant, and but we don't all necessarily agree on that as far as certain sections and how to interpret them. So it is very challenging, even for those of us who have the legal experience, to clearly come up with the best guidance in certain circumstances. But in starting with Section 4023, the forbearance, that is where the borrower can, with a very low threshold, can ask for their payments to be put off. Very minimal conditions under 4023. The borrower must have been current on their payments, their mortgage payments, as of February the 1st of 2020. I find it ironic and quite frankly funny that same requirement is not made of tenants when we talk about Section 4024 to put off their payments. Many calls I receive are from landlords saying, well, this person hasn't paid rent for months, and then we get this COVID law. So they put this requirement on landlords that they did not do on tenants, that you have to be current as of February the 1st of 2020. And then you, as a borrower, reach out to your servicer and say you're facing financial hardship, and then you get your first 30 days of forbearance and can qualify for up to two additional 30-day extensions for a total of 90 days for that forbearance. And it's, you know, there aren't very strict guidelines set forward about what the servicer is to require from you. So we pretty much consider that a very low threshold. So under Section 4023, if you are going to seek that forbearance, and I want to make one comment here, there is a little bit of a misconception among landlords to say, well, if I didn't do a forbearance, the CARES Act does not apply to me. And I want to correct that and say that it does. Even if you don't do a loan forbearance, the CARES Act could potentially apply to you. So it's important that people keep that in mind. As a part of Section 4023 with the forbearance, in that section says that during your loan forbearance, you may not evict or initiate an eviction solely for non-payment of rent. So it does carve out, it would appear to be a conduct-based eviction. But what does the phrase initiate eviction? Because obviously you can't evict someone. We all know that that's pretty much going down to the courthouse, having your trial, purchasing your writ of possession. That part is pretty clear, but initiate eviction, that's the vague area. And to be conservative, one would say that you wouldn't give a notice to vacate. But that's left for interpretation. And you cannot, so the big part there is you cannot do an eviction until the forbearance expires. And once the forbearance expires, you have to do a 30-day notice to vacate. After that forbearance expires, that freeze has been lifted, you then have to do a 30-day notice to vacate. So, for example, here in Texas, the default for many people is a 3-day notice to vacate. Well, if you're a part of that, you now have to give a 30-day notice to vacate. And as we know here in Texas, you can't do the notice to vacate during at the same time as another deadline, so that has to wait until the forbearance is over with. The tenant, as I said earlier, could be evicted for other default conduct and things like that, but it's unclear, and people have differing opinions of whether you have to do a 30-day notice to vacate for a conduct-based eviction. The most conservative would be that, yes, you do. Many people would say that's ludicrous. If someone is discharging a weapon, they pulled a gun, and I've faced all this, and my firm has been through many of these challenges, and we'll continue to share some of these stories during this. But the legislature may never have dreamt that, or maybe they did, but it's very possible that that 30-day would apply even to a serious conduct eviction. Forbearance is applying to a federally backed multifamily mortgage loan, and under 4023, it talks about a loan that it's either assisted in any way by an officer or an agency of the federal government, or it's connected with a housing and urban development program administered by HUD, or it was purchased and securitized by the Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corporation. So those are the highlights of 4023. 4024, Section 4024 of the CARES Act, is where much more focus is for landlords outside of the forbearance, which puts a temporary eviction moratorium on all properties, even if you didn't do the forbearance, of a federally who have a federally backed mortgage loan. And so under that 4024, you have this 120-day waiting period that you cannot do an eviction for non-payment. You can't initiate. And again, we're not clear on what the word initiate is. So the 120 days takes you to roughly July 27th. Then you must issue, again, a 30-day notice to vacate, even though state law may have a much shorter time period. And so under Section 4024, during that moratorium, you cannot evict someone for non-payment. You cannot evict for other fees or charges, such as penalties or other charges related to non-payment of rent. And then, of course, you've got to do the 30-day notice to vacate after the moratorium has been lifted. Section 4024B is in boy, and 4024C is in Charlie. Those areas are definitely places that landlords want to pay attention to. The B talks about the covered dwellings. It says you can't initiate the eviction proceedings and goes into detail about the 120 days. 4024C again brings up this 30-day notice to vacate, which was mentioned back in the forbearance in 4023. And this also, again, does not clarify under 4024C with a 30-day notice to vacate on whether it would apply to conduct-based eviction. Now, HUD did issue a question and answer or frequently asked question bulletin not long ago, and they issued in a short period of time ago that they offer their opinion on and guidance on that, and they said it does not, that the 30-day should not apply to conduct eviction, and that's the guidance offered by HUD in its question and answer. So when you add up all those days, the 120, the 30-day notice to vacate, you're looking at roughly August the 23rd, around that time period, is before you can, before your evictions can get started. And then, of course, you're dealing with a court system that is, we anticipate, is going to be greatly overrun. We're seeing and hearing from clients that there is a pretty good chunk of people who are not paying their rent, and they're being silent. They're not even interacting with the landlord.
Hey, Brian, we're going to have to take a quick break there, play the music again, but we're going to be back with much more of this. It's very important information that everybody needs to know. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of COVID-19, the good, the bad, the ugly, from the front lines. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me today is longtime multifamily industry attorney, Brian Serwin, principal with the Serwin Law Firm. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S., Rasa Floors, the professional flooring advisor, specializing in make-ready replacement flooring for the multifamily industry throughout Texas and Oklahoma. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products with solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management, and CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Brian, we were talking about Section 4024C of the CARES Act, and I had to cut you off because we had to go to break. So let me let you pick that back up.
Absolutely understandable. And I want to go on to talk about, like, what is a covered dwelling. I think many people, to get an idea of what 4024 is covered. But I wanted to pause just a little bit to talk a little bit about more about what we're seeing on the front lines before I get into the covered dwelling, because I think it's important for people to know that what we're seeing is, because we handle so many clients across the state, is unfortunately with this lockdown that has been in place, just unfortunately an escalation in violence on properties. It from domestic disputes to increased crime on property, some of it, or a large part of it, could be tenant on tenant. And I think that is very much an unintended consequence of politicians trying to help people out, but not realizing that once you took away that eviction power, just how difficult it would be. just some of the bizarre things that we've seen. I know that we recently had an eviction at a very high-end property where a resident was disgruntled that they had had their car broken into and took a sheet of glass that came from the car and threw it into the leasing office after trying to barge their way in. The leasing office had been closed to the public. He was unhappy that he couldn't vent about the vehicle being broken into, and so the resident felt it appropriate to take a sheet of glass and throw it at the leasing staff. And this is not uncommon. When people feel, and when the news media, when politicians say we've stopped evictions, this is the natural result of what you're going to see. And I tell you, if that wasn't bad enough, we began to have a prominent local elected official here in Houston begin to call and call the office staff and pretty much give them a hard time that you better back off this eviction, because we're seeing elected officials want to brag what they did to help people. And more cities across Houston, as I'm sure there are around the country, your local city council members are wanting to basically also get involved and stop evictions totally if there weren't some of these in place. And then when you have these evictions, the challenge of convincing the court to open up so that they can hear the case. And in Texas, we, under this exception for violence, we have to, some of these courts may have no staff, they may have a little bit, it may take a long while to hear back from them once we electronically file an eviction, but then they have to hold a hearing about whether they feel it's imminent enough. And some judges across the state are saying, okay, well, the Texas Supreme Court has said that I have to go forward with an eviction. In other words, yeah, you got to do your job. I have to go forward with an eviction, but I want to hear that there is an active problem. Oh, yeah, maybe there was something bad that happened last week, but in today's hearing, a week after the event, is it still an imminent threat? And it leaves us attorneys scratching our heads saying, what do you mean? You're going to wait till this person displays another issue? So we had throwing of glass. We've had a resident pull a gun, was fighting with their spouse and outside their unit, and pulled a weapon and aimed it at a neighbor who tried to stop it and then threatened the leasing staff. We've had an alleged drug dealer who is storing large quantities of gasoline in their unit and in a large container. It's like, well, why do you have large gasoline? All these things we're trying to continue to push through, trying to push through the system in a world that has shut down on us. And with clients who want these people off the property and elected officials who want to brag, and literally there are Facebook ads by elected officials how they've stopped evictions to help people. Well, you're not helping landlords. You're not. Are you stopping insurance bills? Are you stopping the tax bills? And so it's frustrating that here we are stuck in this. But on the front lines, I have to tell you, it's extremely difficult. And it depends on the judge. And if we can get them to follow the law and do the eviction, we filed another one for serious conduct. And that court basically put us off a week. And now apparently we'll get a hearing in another week to decide if the case will go forward. Well, now it'll be 3 weeks after the event, hoping to still push this through. Taking a step back before I continue on about local laws and stuff like that, some people ask me about, well, what's the covered dwelling under Section 4024 of the CARES Act? Remember, 4023 was forbearance, and not everybody may have done forbearance, but even if you didn't do the loan forbearance, you may still be covered by 4024 if for a number of reasons, and I'll kind of go through the list. If you participate in a federal assistance program, if you are public housing, if you are part of housing choice vouchers, if you have Section 8 project-based rental assistance. Now, I have landlords, a common question they ask is, well, you know, if I have 500 doors at my property and only three or four, whatever the number is, a small amount or Section 8, does that apply to the whole property? And in the HUD bulletin that was released with questions and answers, they did release that guidance on April 21st of 2020. They do address that issue and say that other things may apply to stop evictions or giving a notice to vacate. But if you just have a few units, or if not all your units are a part of like Section 8, for example, then you don't have to apply all this stuff to the rest. But again, I want to remind listeners that this is a layered approach. So you may escape one area, but you have other areas you have to be concerned about. Going down the list of covered dwellings, Section 8 project-based rental assistance. Next, any property covered by VAWA, that's the Violence Against Women Act, and of course those for Section 8, tax credit properties, all of those are going to fall under 4024. Any property participating in the Rural Housing Voucher Program, any, and this is the one that gets a lot of people, any federally backed mortgage loan from FHA, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and there are those that feel that the numbers that get trapped by the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac thing, or could be anywhere from 20 to 40% of apartments out there. Those are just rough estimates. Continuing down the list, low-income tax credit properties, out the LIHTC program, all these federally backed mortgage loans. So those all, if you're a part of those, you get caught in this, the world of Section 4024. So if you don't get, if you're not a part of forbearance, and if you're not a part of temporary moratorium under 4024 of the CARES Act, then that leaves you to, well, what's going on in your state and in your city. So, for example, here, as I mentioned earlier, on the earlier segment, the Texas Supreme Court issued its emergency order number 12. So that's where you get caught up, is by your court system. And that could be at the, like in Texas, the Texas Supreme Court. It could be county court where your JP evictions are appealed, or your Justice of the Peace eviction. And then now we have a number of cities who are also jumping into the let's help out the tenant, let's help out the tenants not pay their rent idea. So you have to see, have that, are those affecting your property and your location? So we know that the Texas Supreme Court, for those of us here in Texas, they are not going to permit hearings or trial proceedings to continue until May 18th. And of course, that may very likely be extended. But as of now, Texas Supreme Court is halting evictions until May 18th. And of course, that's with the exception of the imminent threat. The Texas Supreme Court has also said the writ of possession, which is what you need to have a consul go out and physically remove someone from the property, that those writs won't issue for a week after that May 18th. So that's May the 25th. In order for those who feel they have a situation involving an emergency in Texas, the Supreme Court has said that as a part of your sworn complaint, you have to talk about a threat to person. And then your Justice of the Peace Court has to have a hearing to determine if the allegations you've said under oath are true. So the court, their exception are that tenant or tenant's household members or the tenant guest. So that's helpful to the landlord, because it's not just limited to tenant, have threatened or posed an imminent threat. And that could be to the plaintiff, the plaintiff's employees, other tenants, or the tenants engaged in criminal activity. So you have to participate in that hearing in front of your Justice of the Peace Court. And at that point, the Justice of the Peace Court will, if they decide it is going to go forward this eviction under this current freeze, then they will sign an order that sets forth the procedure. So our firm has participated in a phone hearing. One judge didn't want to do Zoom, so he did a phone hearing, which was okay. But as a lawyer, you really, you kind of want to see people's reaction. That's part of our
sure.
magic of knowing what the judge's reaction is, so you know to move on to something else.
Brian, we need to take a quick break. We're going to pick this up when we get back in our final segment of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we are discussing the topic of COVID-19, the good, bad, and ugly from the front lines. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me today is longtime multifamily industry attorney, Brian Serwin, principal with the Serwin Law Firm. Brian, before we had to take a break, you were talking a lot about the Texas Supreme Court, and I know you've got situations that you're dealing with trying to set up trial dates and so forth. Talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely. You know, we try to urge these cases, unfortunately, are coming in that do involve conduct. And the more this goes on, the more we're seeing them. And with terrified site personnel that are worried and neighbors who literally move out because they don't want to be near the violence or caught up in it. And it is certainly a challenge. So trying to coordinate the justice of the peace in Texas to honor the Supreme Court can be difficult, as I mentioned, getting a hold of them and having them conduct these hearings. And so our experiences, I mentioned in the last segment, is one was by phone and then one was by Zoom, which that court actually, I think, initially thought about having an in-person hearing, to which we said, well, hold on a second. Maybe can we try something else? Because I wasn't eager to send one of my attorneys or clients to have easily on these conduct of evictions. You can quickly amount to 10 people in a room or get over that number. So the court did Zoom, which worked out pretty well. The property managers were at their location at the apartment community. Our attorney was either at home or at the law firm. In that particular case, they actually were at home. And the plaintiff and his lawyer were at different locations, and everybody was able to give their side of the story. And and be a part of it. And witnesses were actually called. They were brought into the Zoom when the court was ready for them. And that worked out pretty well. But again, it's back to the challenge of, does a judge who is also very much a politician, are they going to hear a case? Are they going to put it off? Are they going to delay it, or which we see often? Or are they simply going to say, well, the threat's not there? Because unfortunately, they don't see firsthand what the site team has to go through on staff, which can be very difficult. And as I said, we've seen all types of conduct, and people are taking advantage of this lockdown on evictions and are not paying their rent. I think the situation is far worse than perhaps the industry is willing to admit, as far as the numbers that are out there. Once you get past the Justice of the Peace Court, then again, you have the county court that you have to convince them to hold this emergency hearing and to open up their court for those matters. I know at least here in Harris County, they're actually posting information that helps the tenant to determine whether their property is covered by CARES Act. So, for example, if you go in Harris County to their website for the county courts, you can be directed to research whether or not the property is covered by CARES to in an effort to try to stop an eviction, depending on if the proper notices were given. And again, there's a vague area about this 30-day notice to vacate. Then you have your cities, and we haven't talked about that too much, but briefly, for example, here in Texas, Austin and Dallas that passed their own ordinances that some, in some cases, might even make it a crime to attempt to evict people and have shut down evictions. So I don't know if those are going to be renewed because of the Supreme Court's already doing that for them and stopping evictions. So it's challenging, and it certainly is an area that you have to be on top of and be familiar with it. And an area that can be very vague and without clear direction. One current concern of mine is the Supreme Court might want to implement an affidavit by all property managers where they put under oath, similar to the military affidavit, whether or not their community is covered by the CARES Act and how their property is financed. And obviously that's very concerning because the site team, who are very capable and smart individuals, they weren't a part of the financing for a property. And those two worlds are separated at great length and I find it to be very difficult for an apartment manager to know the financing on it and to be able to complete these affidavits without error. And I worry this may be criminalizing being a landlord, and I'm certainly hoping that affidavit requirement is not implemented. That should just be a defense raised by the tenant, and putting an extra burden on landlords is certainly not a good thing. But our firm has seen interesting and challenging times before, certainly with the downturn and prior markets, but this is a first, and this is a very difficult time for our clients, and we empathize with them, and our calls are more than ever before. Even if some of us attorneys are working from home or remotely, they're working, the volume has picked up. And we see an avalanche coming once the courts have begun to open back up. Some of this will continue to be delayed. The evictions will be delayed, whether the Supreme Court continues to deny evictions. But more and more, the tenants requesting a jury trial. And so there aren't going to be jury trials for a while. No one has a clear idea when that's going to happen. I personally think that they probably won't happen till towards the end of the year or next year. So if you're a resident seeking a jury trial, you're going to be kicking this eviction down the road for a long period of time, which is troubling, because I think that it's, if we can't provide jurors, we need to rethink the system. We certainly rethought the system in favor of tenants. We ought to rethink the system to be fair to landlords instead of having people who remain on the property and are there.
Brian, let me transition you into, because it's obvious we're going to have you back again on another episode as this thing continues to develop, because there's so much to talk about. But I do want to give you an opportunity to let our listeners know a little bit about you, about your firm, and obviously how they could reach you if they have more questions or if they're in need of some legal consultation. Tell them a little bit about you. You mentioned briefly that your family was in commercial real estate, but we've got about less than 2 minutes left.
Absolutely. So I was, you know, that's kind of difficult to ask me about the background and the firm and that, but jokingly I say. But to reach me is the easy part. Our phone number at our law firm is 713-622-2111. And I am fortunate to have a great group of people who enjoy what they do and live and breathe landlord-tenant law here in Texas. My first name, as you mentioned, is Brian with an I, and the last name is spelled C as in Charlie, W-E-R-E-N, Brian Swern. And as you mentioned, we've just been doing this for many years, and whether it's HUD complaints, responding to those, helping clients with local municipal ordinance issues, vendor disputes, which happen on a regular basis, the evictions and litigation in general, all representing the landlord. And I tell you, some of the things that we've encountered, and definitely have to go on a different show of the types of evictions, the things that I see, the threats that we get. It's an interesting world that many around me say you need your own reality TV show for the people that you deal with. But I'm sure your listeners are, if having been around multifamily, certainly know that there's interesting people out there, and it can be challenging for industry, but we sure enjoy what we do. And again, our law firm website is swernlaw.com, which is spelled C-W-E-R-E-N.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Brian. We are going to be back next week with another guest and great topic. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.